We'll start with at the John chapter 2. This morning's title is titled as Wedding and Cleansing. I've officiated many weddings. As nice as any wedding is, it can be very stressful at the same time. Can you agree with me, ladies? Because there is not one bride who does not want that wedding to be perfect, right? Quote unquote perfect wedding. However, every wedding has one uninvited guest comes. Do you know who that is? Murphy's Law. It says, anything can go wrong. What does it say? Will go wrong. I've seen the one video, of course, America's Home, Funniest Home Video. Bride and groom were about to cut the cake. Cake collapsed. So, that's not funny. Nothing funny about that one. You know, during that time, in the first century, and the Jewish family, when you run out of anything during the, they did not have just 1 day reception. It was usually 7 day reception, 3 to 7 days. Aren't you glad you're not the one who had to foot the bill? God, whole town shows up. Anyway, running out of wine during that time is no-no. It would be complete embarrassment for the families, especially bride and groom's family, and they have to live with that for the rest of their lives. That's where the Jesus was. And we're going to fast forward the scene to the Jerusalem when there was a Passover time. Jesus was there also with his disciples. We'll get to see up close and personal of Jesus. But in the very rare mode, we don't see him like this often. He was angry. He was cleansing the temple by shooing the merchant out of the court of the temple. Why did he do that? We're going to find out. Some of you guys already know. And some of you who are not familiar with the Bible may not know. Listen, it is an important lesson. Let's stop here and pray. Father, again we come to your presence asking you to teach us. We open our heart to receive your precept and principles from your word. Line upon line, word upon word. Father, your word is a truth. Your word has a final authority. So whatever you say, we will do. Teach us. And we are praying for President Obama. May he do what is right in your sight. I know he is doing according to your will because you control his life. You put him in that office for your providential reason. But we are asking you to soften his heart that he may come to know Christ. And we are praying for our troops, the ones in foreign country, the one who will go to the foreign country. It seems like more and more our soldiers are going into the foreign country in harm's way. Father, protect them. And while they are away from their families, let them come to know Christ. And pray for our law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, I'm not bragging. This is something that the Lord laid in Karen's heart. Since there are a lot of things against cops nowadays, would you agree? So she decided she wants to do something. So she went out, bought $5 gift card from McDonald's. And when she see the cops, she handed it to them and she says, Blue Lives Matter. They don't know what to do. And she did that a couple of days ago, and this guy, TPD officer, said, no way. It would be nice if she doesn't choke to while she's speaking, but she get all choked up. Think about it. Maybe you can do the same thing. $5 won't cut your budget that much. Donut shop? Yeah. Donut shop. All right, chapter 2, verse 1 of the book of John, please. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. That's Mary. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Note that, please. They were invited. This wedding probably happening on Wednesday. And some of you think, oh, now you're speaking the heresy. How do you know it's Wednesday? Because according to tradition and the custom of ancient Jews, wedding had to be started on Wednesday. Nothing fancy about it. Many unbelievers, even believers, think that to be a real Christian, you have to be stoic, you have to be boring, you have to have a no-nonsense attitude. I really don't think so. If that's the case, Jesus would not be invited because he's a Jesus, the party pooper, right? And who wants to invite the party pooper to the party? So, but they were invited. He was there. And somehow, the stereotype of a Christian is they're kind of golfed down by the gallon of a spoiled lemon juice with their face like this. Don't. We are the one who should have more fun than any other people. I'm not talking about carnal fun. We have a hope that nobody has, right? Our eternal security, eternal life is in heaven. Shouldn't we rejoice? And on top of all, we wake up in the morning without a hangover. How about that? The first event after creation of the universe was the wedding ceremony for Adam and Eve. God walked Eve down the aisle. And that happened in the Garden of Eden according to Genesis chapter 2. The first miracle by our Lord Jesus when he started his public ministry on earth was a wedding in Cana. And the first event in heaven after the fall of the demonic kingdom, Babylon, on earth will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. You, if you are born again Christian, you are all invited. You will be there. And don't look at me because I'm going to chow down whatever the food they serve me. It's mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 19. That is for the groom, Jesus Christ, and the bride, body of Jesus Christ. And some of you guys think, I'm not going to be a bride. I'm a man. Yeah, you're going to be a bride, whether you like it or not. So tell me, the first event in Genesis is the wedding. First event Jesus did as a public ministry was wedding. And the last event, and actually the first event in heaven after the fall of Babylon is wedding. Do you think this is a coincidence? No. God rigged it. All right, verse 3. Then when they ran out of wine, they, the family of the bridegroom's family, they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, note that, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour, note that, please, has not come yet. His mother said to the servant, whatever he says to you, do it. Running out of wine, as I mentioned, is a major disaster for the Jewish wedding. But this was done in providential will of God. Why did Mary come to Jesus and tell him that they ran out of wine? Did she expect him to jump on his four-wheel drive chariot and run down to Jewish Walmart, buy some more wine, bring him back, make everything go away? No, that's not what she meant. She was expecting something spectacular because she knew that he was the Son of God. Please note the word Jesus answered in verse 4. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And you ladies thinking, did he just call his mother woman? It's a poor translation in English. It's kind of lost in the translation. The right translation should be more like ma'am. So he called her ma'am. But why? Why did he call her ma'am? Because it's no longer mother and son relationship. It changed to a sinner and a savior relationship. Are you with me? Now, this is the beginning of the earthly ministry. He noted that he's changing the word. I asked you to note the word hour. Jesus lived on the heavenly timetable set by God the Father. He did not do whatever he chose to do, like we often do. We have a tendency to run ahead of God like a stallion. We are thinking, oh yeah, I got this, God. You just follow me. Or we've been drugged by God like a donkey who is putting the foot in the front and is saying, I'm not going. Wouldn't it be great if he, God, looked at us and we can tell what he wants us to do? Because he looked at us according to Psalm. You know what I'm talking about? He guides us by his eyes because we know his heart. How can we do that? Through the word. Prayer. You know, if I want you to feel guilty, all I have to talk about was a prayer. We all are guilty, aren't we? We don't pray enough. I'll be the first one to raise hand. The entire earthly life of Jesus had one purpose and one purpose only. To save the eternally dying human race. In other words, everything he did was according to God's time and for the cross. I loved Mary's reply. It shows her complete reliance to her Savior. Whatever he says to you, what? Do it. Okay, I want you to put it this way. I want you to replace he as Jesus. I want you to replace you with your name. Whatever JK said to me, whatever Jesus said to me, do it. Can you do that? Write it down somewhere. Whatever Jesus said to put your name, do it. That's the command we should remember in our Christian life. We should do whatever he says to us with complete obedience. We don't do it because we don't take this word as the final authority, unfortunately. People come up with a lame excuse. I come up with a lame excuse. Verse 6. Now there were the set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 to 30, over 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and he did not know where it came from, but the servant who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning set out the good wine, and when the guests have all well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of the signs, you might want to put the parenthesis, miracles, John preferred to use signs instead of miracles. Jesus did in the Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Our Lord's first miracle was not a spectacular event that everyone could see. Only a handful of people saw this. Jesus' mother Mary, disciples, and the servants. No one else knew. Why did he do that? I don't know. He didn't say it. Let's go to the different way. I'm not a wine expert by any means. But if I'm understanding fermenting process procedure correctly, it takes time to become wine from grape juice. This 100 to 180 gallons of water turned into the highest quality wine in Cana between the water pot and to the master of ceremony. I don't know how far that was. Probably it was not 2 or 3 days. Maybe walking from here to the front door. Maybe a little bit far away. It doesn't matter. It's not long distance that while he was carrying the clear water, servants carrying this jug of water, in front of his eyes is a turning from the clear water to burgundy color. How would you like to be the servant? Just seeing that miracle in his own hand. It is a supernatural. It is a miracle of God. Now, some Bible teachers would go great lengths to show that what Jesus made here is not really wine, but it's rather grape juice. Because they don't want to encourage that Christians should drink. I wouldn't do that. Wine is wine. Because you don't get drunk by drinking grape juice. You might get full, but not get drunk. Wine is wine. It is true that the wine they use has a lower content of alcohol than the modern-day wine. Then some Christian would say, since the Bible encouraged them to drink alcohol by using this scripture. Well, for that idea, my reply is to those people, if you use Jesus as your example for drinking, why don't you follow him? Why don't you do what he says he would do in the rest of things? For example, Luke chapter 22, please. Go to Luke chapter 22, verse 18. You cannot pick and choose what God will do and what you will do, what you won't do. 22:18. Jesus says, I say to you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. So there you go. If that was your excuse, now you have to stop drinking wine. If you want to drink wine, go ahead, drink. That will not send you to hell. But you will have a more chance to get drunk than me, who I don't drink at all. And you will have a chance to do something stupid. Because how do I know? I used to drink when I was in college. I used to drink just to get drunk. Typical college kid. And next morning holding the porcelain God and say, "Oh God." What was the fun of that? I have no idea. This is the first miracle Jesus did, which means no other miracles before. All four Gospels connected and support each other. And they don't contradict. Are you with me? I'm sure that many of you have heard the Gospel of Peter or Gospel of Thomas. They are known as apocryphal books, and they are not canonized. That means they are not included in the Bible. They have some fanciful stories of Jesus before he started public ministries. God didn't include them because they were not inspired. Since they were not inspired by the Holy Spirit, I choose not to read. If I'm going to spend the time, I'm going to spend the time that inspired me by the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, now we see Jesus with a righteous indignation. After this, he went down to Capernaum. He, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. And they did not stay there many days. Now, the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and the sheep and the doves. And the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cord, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, poured out the changers' money, and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Stop there, please. Passover, the greatest celebration for any Jews. By Jewish laws, all male within the 15-mile radius around Jerusalem must attend Passover in Jerusalem. And it is a desire for all the Jews wanting to attend at least one Passover celebration in Jerusalem. So this city, average about 500,000 during normal time, and swelling up to the 2.5 million people. How do I know? According to historian Josephus. Opportunistic Jewish religious leaders, whenever they see these worshippers coming through the one of those gates, they are thinking, ka-ching sign. Oh, one more. Uno más. Muy bien. And they come in, and they are taking all this as a money. Why? Because they study this place, market, in the outer court, the Gentile court of the temple. They set up for the deal. I'm sure they started with for the convenience. See, Jewish people were in the rest of the territory. They were using Roman currencies. And in the temple, they were not allowed to bring Roman currency. So they had to exchange money. What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong. But they were adding exorbitant rate. So for whatever the amount of Roman shekels and Roman money, and they should be equal amount, right? No. You have to pay so much more to get the temple shekels. Not only that, let's say you are the one who would bring the animal from different places, from the Capernaum, about 90 miles journey. It's not easy to bring your little animal, 90-mile journey. And you brought that animal, and the priest is checking the animal, and then find some flaw. No matter what they do, how clean that animal is, they find the flaw. And it's, oh, no, you cannot bring this because it sees that flaw. But I'm going to offer you the that you cannot refuse. And is there, oh, we have a market here. We just pre-screened these animals. You just buy this animal, you're good to go. Everything is kosher. So you ask, how much is this lamb, little one? Oh, yeah, 10 times more than market value. All of a sudden, you no longer have that worshipful heart. You came with a joyful heart to worship God. Now, you ran out of money. You cannot do anything. You probably thought maybe we'll stay in the Jerusalem a couple more days after this. They are taking away that joyful, worshipful heart because they agreed. And some Christians, and you may say, well, that's not going to happen. That's at the time. It doesn't happen in our church or in our lifetime. I disagree. It still happens. You know, I used to watch some of these quote-unquote Christian TV programs. And one particular woman preacher, I don't know how she got the title as a pastor, not according to Bible, but this woman preacher said, if you send this much money, we'll send you this anointed oil, vial of oil. You just put the dab of oil onto the place where you're hurting. God will heal you. And you become a ministry partner. That's a bogus gimmick, folks. That's no different than greed and corruption of these Pharisees and Sadducees in the first century in the temple. God would not be pleased with them. Many of the faith movement teachers beg and cry for money. And they said, well, if you have a faith, God will heal you. Well, if you have that much faith, why don't you ask God to give you money for the ministry? Why do you have to do the con artist job? As much as God was angry at those greedy temple priests, he also is angry at the people who fleece the sheep for their financial gain. People tend to think that the Old Testament God shows wrath of God, and the New Testament shows the grace of God. If you think that comment is 100% correct, you have to throw away the last book of the Bible, Revelation, out the window. Because the first three chapters talk about the displeasement of God. And God is strongly rebuking the churches because they were not holding his precepts and principles of the Bible. Then from chapter 6 all the way through to chapter 19, you see the wrath of God one after another pouring down on the earth. People are dying left and right. Don't tell me that's not the wrath of God. People like to accept the love of God and kindness of God and mercy of God, but they like to reject holiness and righteousness of God and justice of God. You cannot pick and choose. This is not a buffet table. I said many times. When it comes to religious hypocrisy, Jesus is not gentle at all. He called them on the carpet and named them serpent, brood of vipers, and whitewashed tombs. Do you think I'm direct? Do you think I don't beat around bush? I'm nothing to compare with Jesus. At least I don't call you guys a snake, right? It is his righteous indignation. We also should be angry at injustice and religious hypocrisy rather than supporting them. In other words, if you are sending money to one of those heretics, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, don't send them. There are many ministries that are worthy of your hard-earned money. Support them. Chapter 18. So the Jews answered and said to them, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you will raise it up. Will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed, note their word, in his name, when they saw the signs which he did. Verse 24. But Jesus did not commit, note that word as well, please, himself to them, because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of men, for he knew what was in man. Isn't that scary? God knows your thoughts and my thoughts. Aren't we glad he's not projecting all of that on the screen? The Jews realized that Jesus was absolutely correct. So what did they do? They dodged the subject. They couldn't challenge him, so they sidestepped and changed the subject and demanded a sign. What they really needed was salvation. The issue was not what they wanted to see, rather what was they needed to believe, because they had a shallow faith, which was nothing at all. Being so spiritually blinded that the truth of God, Jesus himself, was standing in front of them, yet they did not see the truth. For the Jews, the symbol of God's presence was the temple itself. That just building itself was a temple, God's presence. What Jesus is saying to them is, I am the presence of God among you in the flesh. I am Emmanuel, God with us. You know, no other religions, no other faith can say that. Oh, I know what the Shirley MacLaine said, I am God. Yeah, she's going to find out. We are not God, but God, if you're a born-again Christian, God lives in your heart. Holy Spirit resides in your heart. That's why we can say this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Jews believed, the word believed in verse 23 and commit in verse 24, are the same Greek word, pistor. And these people believed in Jesus, but he did not believe in them. It was one thing to respond to a miracle. Let me put it in a simpler way. If God healed a person here, the person who couldn't do a lot of things because they're limited, his or her capability is limited. If God healed that person, if there is an unbeliever, would that person believe in God? Yes. But would that person's faith in God last? That's another thing. That's what we call shallow faith. You know, if the miracle would make the people to believe in Jesus Christ, all the people who saw Jesus' miracle in the first century would be a staunch believers. But they were not. It's one thing to respond to a miracle, it's quite something else to commit oneself to Jesus and continue in his word. You see, the same miracle that attracted Nicodemus to Jesus caused some of the other religious leaders to want to kill him. They even asserted that his miracles were done by the power of Satan. Our Lord's miracle was the evidence of his divinity, but they were also tests exposing the hearts of the people. Are you with me on that? Two applications. Number one, we should do, can you say it with me? We should do whatever the Lord says to us with complete obedience. Say it with me, complete obedience. Second application, after we come to Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be cleansed by him inside and out. We need to stop allowing the garbage to come into our hearts and minds. In other words, what you sing. Isn't that what Jesus said? Our eyes, the window. And what are you letting in to your brain?
Anything is fine.
Be careful what you see. Garbage in what? You let the sin in temptation in, you will be hooked. Because you are not strong. I am not strong without God. So mind, coming into our mind and heart and flush out all the bad things we accumulate in the past with the Word of God and living by whose way?
Whose way?
Whose way?